with us in an entertaining and profitable time of studying God's Word right here on this station every weekday.
Join Dr. McGee.
You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is How to Avoid the Idolatry of Self-Reliance, Part 2. My text is Jeremiah 17, 7-8, which states, Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. For her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. In their suffering, God's people are to give themselves entirely to him, submitting to his wise ordering of their lives. Those who suffer can be confident that the day of humiliation will not last forever. Whether later in this earthly life or on the last day, God will exalt his people at the proper time. Humility is the great preserver of peace and order in all Christian churches and societies. Consequently, pride is the great disturber of them and the cause of most dissensions and broken relations in the church. There is a mutual opposition between God and the proud. So the Lord signifies, they war against him and he scorns them. He resisteth the proud because they are like the devil, enemies to himself and to his kingdom among men. Where God giveth grace to be humble, he will give more grace, more wisdom, faith, holiness, and humility. Therefore, the apostle adds, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Since God resisteth the proud, he giveth grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves, not only one to another, but to the great God, whose judgments are coming upon the world, and must begin at the house of God. His mighty hand is almighty. He can easily pull you down if you are proud, or exalt you if you are humble. And it will certainly do it, even in this life, if he sees it best for you, or at the day of general retribution. The consideration of the omnipotent hand of God should make us humble and submissive to him in all that he brings upon us. Humbling ourselves to God under his hand is the next way to the deliverance and exhortation. Patience under his chastisements and submission to his pleasure, repentance, prayer, and hope in his mercy will engage his help and release in due time. Apostle Peter, knowing that these Christians were already under very hard circumstances, rightly supposes that what he had foretold of greater hardships yet a coming might excite in them abundance of care and fear about the event of these difficulties. What the issue of them and would be to themselves, their families, and the church of God. Foreseeing this anxious care would be a heavy burden and a sore temptation, he gives them the best advice and supports it with a strong argument. His advice is to cast all your care or all cares of themselves upon God. Throw your cares, which are so cutting and distracting, which wound your souls and pierce your hearts upon the wise and gracious providence of God. Trust in him with a firm, composed mind, for he careth for you. He is willing to release you of your care and take the care of you upon himself. He will either prevent what you fear or support you under it. He will order all events to you so as shall convince you of his paternal love and tenderness towards you. And all shall be so ordered that no hurt but good shall come unto you. Worry is a form of pride because it includes taking concerns upon oneself instead of entrusting them to God. Believers can trust God because, as their Father, he cares for them. The best of Christians are likely to labor under the burden of anxious and excessive care. The apostle calls it all your care. So make known that the cares of Christians are various and of more sorts than one. Personal care, family cares, cares for the present, cares for the future, cares for themselves, for others, and for the church. The cares even of good people are very burdensome and too often very sinful when they arise from unbelief and distrust, when they torture and distract the mind, unfit us for the duties of our place, and hinder our delightful service to God. They are very criminal. The best remedy against immoderate care is to cast our care upon God and resign every event to his wise and gracious determination. A firm belief of the righteousness of the divine will and the counsels calms the spirit of man. God can work through us if we are obedient to him. We should cease from worry, saying, "This will of the Lord be done." Because God loves us so much, he sent his Son to be crucified on the cross for our sins. Therefore, let us trust in God at all times and not rely upon ourselves, because God cares for us. The Food and Drug Administration may finally move to ban artificial red food dye, the coloring found in beverages, snacks, cereals, and candies, by Caitlin Sullivan, December 7, 2024. At the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee meeting, Jim Jones, the FDA's Deputy Commissioner for Human Foods, said it's been over a decade since the safety of the synthetic color additive Red Number 40 has been re-evaluated. With Red 3, we have a petition in front of us to revoke the authorization board, and we are hopeful that in the next few weeks we'll be acting on that petition, he said. House Energy and Commerce Committee ranking member Frank Pallone also urged the FDA to ban Red Number 3, in which is made from petroleum and gives food and drinks a bright cherry color. When the holiday season is in full swing, where sweet treats are abundant, it is frightening that the chemical remains hidden in these foods, and we and our children are eating, Pallone wrote in a letter to the agency. While food companies must ensure that the food they market is safe, they are also only required to ensure that their products meet FDA standards. This means that thousands of products containing this chemical can remain on the market. The FDA regulates more than 3/4 of the United States food supply. All color additives must be approved by the FDA before they are used in food sold in the United States. There are 36 FDA-approved color additives, 9 of which are synthetic dyes. This includes 2 red dyes facing federal scrutiny. Some of the same dyes that are used in food are also used in pharmaceutical drugs, but the dyes are approved separately for each use. In 1990, the FDA banned Red Number 3, also known as erythrocin, from cosmetics and topical drugs under the Delaney clause because the chemical was shown to be carcinogenic at high doses in tests on lab rats. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and want to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Our theme for today is vision, in particular, having a clear vision for your life. Some people have sight, but they cannot see because they lack vision. Vision is a mental picture of the future you desire, or in the spiritual sense, the future God has for you to fulfill. Do you have a clear vision for your life? In 2018, I had a vision to create digital content for the radio and other media. To act by faith, I met with a radio executive and asked him if I could come by the station to learn more about the business. He said yes, so I did. When I arrived at the station, I was asked to fill in on a live radio show due to a guest no-show. This was divine providence, and on that show, we talked about community issues and the importance of voting. This experience increased my confidence and confirmed that I was on the right track. By God's grace, I now provide digital content for radio and other media outlets. Having a vision with a plan of execution is very important. In Habakkuk, the second chapter, verses 2 through 3, the Lord answered Habakkuk and said, "Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." In other words, write a clear vision and grow from a faith of perplexity and doubt to a height of absolute trust in God. Sometimes our vision is blurred and we don't see things clearly. Sometimes we are blindsided. And sometimes we see things based on fear that will never actually happen. However, we should strive to align our vision to God's purpose for our lives. Once your vision is aligned to God's purpose, you won't run away from challenges based on fear. You'll run to them knowing that you're well able. You won't run away from opportunities thinking that you're not qualified. You'll run to them knowing that you are well equipped. You won't worry when you face health, financial, and relationship problems. You'll trust the promises of God. Although we have all violated God's divine law, be encouraged to know that God still loves you and desires your best. God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and arose so that you may have everlasting life. Can you see God's love for you? If so, put God first by trusting and obeying his word, and take action by faith to carry out your vision. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Give us a vision to see like you do, to help reach the city and make mountains move. Come, bring heaven down. Open our ears so that we hear the sound. Your voice like a whisper calling us out. Come, bring heaven down.
and we'll